Okay. Well, let me, what I think what we're going to do today is, I'll just read a verse, and then we should remember Mother Jamuna, who passed away less than a week ago. Reading from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Canto 2, Text 1, Chapter 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vaikuntham Dulabham Muktai. Sandanan, wait, that's not the verse, excuse me. Taratam yavatam esham, phale samyam na yujate, taratam yam tu vaikunte, katanchit katate nahi. Since the levels of these devotees are various, it seems, well, that's not it either, excuse me. Yeah, okay. It seems unfitting that the results they achieve be the same, but in Vaikuntha, no hierarchies exist. Commentary, without higher and higher levels of enjoyment and realization of the greatness of God, the five different levels of bhakti would be incomplete. Toward the same results, to devotees of differing levels of attraction would not befit the perfect and all-compassionate personality of Godhead. How could all the Lord's devotees be satisfied by one kind of reciprocation? Thus, there is a need for hierarchy in the varieties of devotion and the corresponding moods in which the Lord reciprocates. In Vaikuntha, however, such a hierarchy is impossible to find because the atmosphere of that place is purely spiritual. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Yulatemnena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Napitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Turubhyascha Kripashindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Vrindavan, still quite pleasant here in terms of the weather. Quite a busy day for me today. It's Christmas Day here. What is it? Probably Christmas. Well, I guess it's Christmas there, too, so I guess quite a few people are going to be out doing various things and have to attend to various functions. Some of them already told me so. But every Christmas, I go to the house of Sita Sundari, who's the, well, many Russian devotees here. She's the Russian matriarch, pure soul, pure devotee of the Lord. Experienced World War II, huge family, but somehow came to Vrindavan
and she was born on Christmas, and I go there every year for lunch. She gave me a beautiful gift of a cashmere charter. Just a sweet, sweet person. And it's just nice to see all the babushkas. I'll say a little bit about more about that. All the old Russian ladies coming in and seeing just pure, loving exchanges, which is really what Vrindavan is at. Anyway. And we were all shocked, but not shocked, that our god sister Jamuna passed away. Of course, she was very ill. But we had a function here to remember. Actually, we had one in the morning, beginning at 8 o'clock, that went on for a few hours, and one in the evening. And there's quite a few senior Vaishnavas that reside here that had deep, close association. And to hear the level in which she touched their heart, you know, it sometimes says about a great person that a great person is remembered not as much for what they achieved, but for how they made, not so much for how they accomplished, but how they made people feel. But for a Vaishnava, the greatest accomplishment is how they make people feel. That's how bhakti works. Bhakti works by satsanga. That's how it works. And what is satsanga? There are people who have realized the truth, who actually feel the truth and therefore can give the truth. They understand the truth. And what's the truth? That Krishna is God. And there's a depth of understanding of that. A depth of understanding that everything, including oneself, is moving around a central principle called God. Who is everything, and everything belongs to God, and they themselves belong to God. And when one acknowledges that, somehow realizes that, then he becomes or she becomes a fit receptacle for God's mercy. And God's mercy is the love that God puts in one's heart that one directs back to God in the form of love. And satsang means is that when you appreciate or serve such people, then what they have in their heart comes to you. That's the principle of association. That's why one of the most important principles of devotion is a satsang tyag, a Vaishnava achar, that the behavior of a Vaishnava is a satsang tyag. We give up a satsang. It doesn't mean we don't relate to people. It doesn't mean we're not kind to people. It doesn't mean that we're not compassionate to people. But it means that those who don't embody truth, we don't get intimate with. Because intimacy and opening our hearts to one creates a conduit for the quality of those people to enter our hearts. And if you have a satsang, people who are egotistical and selfish, whatever their garb is, then those qualities will come into your heart. If you worship movie stars, then your sex desire may increase, or rock stars. If you worship, bravado athletes, your ego will increase, or rappers, whatever it is, your ego will increase. If you appreciate and glorify great Vaishnavas, then your devotion will increase. And when a great Vaishnava passes from the world, what happens is people want to glorify them, and then you begin to realize how much people's hearts were changed by the association they got from those people. And then you're amazed, because person after person comes up and just doesn't offer eulogy, shallow praise, but shares their experience of their life being changed, and their life being changed and inspired by that association, by something that's been put into their heart, by the conviction, the realization of someone who is advanced in Krishna consciousness. And another thing happens when a person like that passes away. What you realize is that what you already realized before is that they're universally glorified. Everyone had recognized their qualities. Dira dira janapriyo piyakaro nimatsuro pujita. Whether one is the sober or the gentle or the ruffians, dira dira janapriyo piyakaro nimatsuro pujita. Because those people did not have ambition to center themselves and control and enjoy the world, but strongly wanted to be the servant of Krishna. They had no envy. Dira dira janapiyo piyakaro. They became very, very dear to everyone. And they're universally accepted. The day before Jamuna passed away was the disappearance festival of Vibhu Chaitanya, a pure Vaishnava who served in the Krishna Balaram Mandir from its very inception and died a few years ago. I also spoke at his samadhi. And that was my realization, that these type of people are universally valued. Where a person with position, it says, a king may be worshipped in his own village, but a wise person is respected all over the world. So, I mean, Vibhu Chaitanya, there's not a soul. They're self-effulgent. That's what self-effulgent means. Self-effulgent, sorry, hopefully there's someone who initiates like self-effulgent. But they're self-effulgent. Everyone realizes that this person has love of Krishna in their hearts. Same thing, Jayananda Prabhu. I met him first. I saw him in a parking lot when I was visiting the San Francisco temple, fixing some car. And, he said a few words, and I just immediately understood this person is special spiritually. And what happens with such a person who has such a mood of service, they become the life and soul of others. When you love someone, when you want to serve someone, when you revere someone, they become your light in the sense that they take a paramount importance. So there were very, very many wonderful, wonderful offerings. And it just became so evident. I'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. And this is Brihad Bhagavatamrita, so it's the modern Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the essence of the Bhagavatam, is just the glorification of those who love Krishna fully. And when you're with them, you're with Krishna, because they're so focused on Krishna. That's what a devotee means. So when you're with them, you look where they look. And that's the way to become advanced in spiritual life. In the Bhagavatam, I forgot which verse, but there's one of these Tasmat verses, therefore chant here, worship, glorify, remember Krishna. And then the question comes up in the mind, because the Bhagavatam and any good writing or scripture deals with what you're thinking and responds to it, so you have the proper understanding. So after those type of verses, one can become discouraged, but therefore it says, Shushushro Shradhanasya Vasudeva Katavati Sihatmat Sevana Vipra Punya Tirthana Shavanat. That it's associated with the great souls. Shushushradhana Vasudeva Katavita. You develop attachment for hearing about Krishna. You. This is the process. You develop just by that association. So this is the real most important thing in Vaishnava, is to get that sadhu sangha, sat sangha, the association of people who live by the truth and therefore have the truth and therefore can give the truth to you. And what is the truth? The truth is bhakti or devotion. The truth is that everything is the energy of God and meant to please God. With that intention to do so, because that's love. Love is not just something pleases someone, but it's the intention. So that intention is part of the absolute reality. And when those people are participating in the absolute reality, they have such an unalloyed intention to glorify Krishna. And you serve them, hear about them, appreciate them, remember them. Something very wonderful happens to your heart. I felt that way sitting. I also spoke, maybe later I can say something about that. But I also really felt changed and humbled. Because when you hear about someone of that level of spiritual advancement, Prabhupada told Samal Krishnamaraj that Jamuna had Bhava Bhakti. And Prabhupada even told Jamuna, you have Bhava Bhakti. Prabhupada saw her devotion to Krishna was extraordinary. It was just an extraordinary thing. Anyway, that's spiritual life, getting that association. I would like to ask, I think on the Sangha, Dr. Henry is usually on the Sangha. I hope he's on the Sangha today, because he was so fortunate and so insightful that about 18 years ago, when Jamuna and her companion, Dina Tarne, were living in Washington and needing a place to stay, he offered their house, and they stayed there for 2 years, and he was able to intimately offer them that service. and have just about as intimate and close association with her as anyone, which is inconceivable fortune. And I believe if it was up to him, they would be living there till the end. But they had a vision. They wanted to live in an environment as conducive to bhakti as possible, and therefore they searched around and moved to Sharanagati, where they lived basically off the grid. Because they weren't interested, she wasn't interested in anything but bhakti, and that's the most conducive atmosphere. Henry, I hope you're there.
Yes, I'm here, Maharaj.
Henry, I'd really appreciate if you could just say something, because I'm just, you know, remembering your house, and her temple room is still there. Can you just give us some remembrance?
Okay. Please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj. Thank you for asking me to speak. I'm not used to public speaking, so I'm a little nervous, and please forgive me for any inaccuracies I may utter.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but Kamal Krishnamurti said, just speak from the heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I first, met Yamuna in 1980 when she was living in a townhouse in Georgetown, and I went to an event there. And, the way she did everything just so perfectly was just so attractive, and interestingly, the way she took care of her deities, the way she prepared the meals, and it was just wonderful to be entertained by her. And, I mean, just really quickly in one, visit, we became very good friends, so that by the time I left her house from the first visit, she gave me a signed copy of The Art of Indian Vegetarian Cooking, Lord Krishna's Cuisine, that she had written. It was also received many awards for it, and she wrote a beautiful inscription inside, to my new friend Henry, let us explore Vaishnav culture, tradition, and the depths of its majesty, and learn the Sadhu Sangha. Yours in Srila Prabhupada's service, Yamuna. And that began a journey that I had with her over the next 20 years that was really incredible. One of the things I remember was a trip we met in Vrindavan. I met her and Dina Tarne, her companion there in Vrindavan, and took a side trip to go to Jaipur and Udaipur, and she took me to the Radha Govindaji temple there in Jaipur, and actually she pointed out a place where Prabhupada had given sannyasi to some very great souls such as Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and I can't remember, she really had a way of remembering details, but she knew the exact spot. She said over there was the fire sacrifice. And this is at the Radha Govindaji temple in Jaipur. And then we went and we had a lovely darshan. And then she pulled some kartals out and handed them to me. And she said, Henry, now you're going to begin your preaching of Prabhupada's movement in India. And I want you to start a kirtan right now. Which I did. You do not. Whatever she says, you do, and I did, and all of a sudden there were 65, 70 people joining in the kirtan, all these happy, smiling faces, and it was just the perfect moment, and that was kind of an example of how she could, I was very new to Krishna consciousness at that time, but she could draw out someone's, inner ability and, get it... Get you to preach Krishna consciousness. She wasn't thinking about preaching Krishna consciousness to me or to anybody she met. She was thinking about how to get them to preach Krishna consciousness. She'd already moved on to the next level. She could see your future. And she was the most empowering person I ever met in my life. And I remember our morning programs when she had moved in after that trip to India, that she would, you know, always ask everybody to speak. You know, was it usually Dina Tarna and myself, and maybe and Yamuna and maybe one other guest, and everybody would speak. It was a discussion group. She wanted to bring out, you know, what we had to say, and she wanted always wanted to know my realizations. She always knew how to bring out the best in me. And in the programs that we had here, you know, I mean, it was days and days of preparation for instance, for Radha Banabihari's birthday, which in 1995, on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day in 1995, we had the we observed the 20th birthday celebration of her deities, Sri Sri Radha Banabihari. And she was preparing for weeks, and the cooking she was doing for days, and the planning was so intricate, and she just wanted to give Vaishnavism and our culture the greatest, you know, make it look wonderful. So we had maybe 60 people attended. You were there, Maharaj. Bhakti Tirtha Swami was there. Dr. Charles White from American University was there, and Rukmini and many other exalted guests were there. And she, and then we served. Everybody sat down, and Yamuna and Dina and Jal Kaley was helping us serve that day, and Jai Nitai and my friend Kent Rogowski. So there were kind of five of us that were helping serve. And there were, and we go around and serve everybody seated at the tables. It was just such a beautiful event, and so so high class and perfect. And she just thought of everybody. And one thing that she always impressed on me throughout the time that we were together was the ability to access the mercy of the great Vaishnavs on their appearance days and disappearance days, and you know, kind of really encouraged me to worship them and really access their mercy on those days. And that's become one of my most important spiritual practices. I follow the calendar very closely to watch for these days, and I know that, and I've learned from her that they can be a springboard for my spiritual advancement by really focusing on these and reading about and meditating on the lives of these great Vaishnavas that have passed away. And that was one of the most important things I learned from her. And she also knew about the material world. She kind of had it figured out. I mean, she summed one sentence that I always hear going through my head that she said, look, there will always be conflict in any human endeavor, but it's how you deal with it that really what makes the end of the day. So much wisdom that I gathered from her over the years. And thank you very much for letting me speak today, Maharaj.
That was, you know, that was really wonderful. I didn't want it to end, but it was really wonderful. I mean, because I always talk, you know. So this is the first time I got to listen, and it's just so relaxing. And to hear the realizations, and, you know, actually, Giriraj Swami, he said that when he was in, and I think it may be okay that we just spend this session just talking about her. You know, it is discussing someone who has pure bhakti. I'll tell a story too about Baba Bhakti and her, but I love that point, the ability to access the mercy of the great Vaishnavas. You know, when she came to Vrindavan, you know, the way she would come even to the holy places was kind of unique, you know. She came one year to Vrindavan, and she just went to all the samadhis. She was just into the samadhis, the tombs of the great Vaishnava teachers. And she would go to a different one every day, and she would chant and hear and discuss. And then in Sharanagati, it was also so visionary. I mean, we get so much caught up in prestige and position and you know, it was, she's always, she was so substantial. I mean, she had such spiritual charisma. But she was always principle-centered. And, you know, the fact that, you know, at a particular time when she, you know, getting a little bit old, you know, she wanted to practice Krishna consciousness, and she wanted to live a life that was demonstrated and supported Krishna consciousness, a life of integrity. And she went, she lived off the grid in Sharanagati, and she built her own cob house, which was stained glass window. I mean, it was exquisite. Henry was there. I didn't visit her house. But, you know, she would, people would come from all over. And she would, in the summer, she would have a month of Sharanagati. You know, I mean, really practicing bhajan with other people. She would they would all chant the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and study them and realize them. And, you know, Giriraj Swami was explaining to me, I mean, he you know, she would like to clean. And, you know, one thing, I was in Henry, and I saw, and I'm not so neat, but I'm really trying, after hearing about her, because people said, and I heard it, when she would cook, when she would finish cooking, it didn't look like she cooked because everything was already clean. And I know when I go to Henry's house and Henry cooks for me, he's not a gourmet cook, but I like his simple things that he makes. He learned from her in the same way that, you know, as you are cooking, you are cleaning at the same time. So she would always clean, and clean Prabhupada's house, and clean Prabhupada's rooms. She had such an incredible, loving relationship with Prabhupada. I mean, she made her way into Prabhupada's heart. I can tell some things about that people said, but she would clean, and she'd have a five-step process of cleaning. And, you know, she would first clean from the bottom to the top, and then she would go again and clean from the, you know, the top to the bottom and everything. So after she cleaned one day, and she told Giriraj Swami, because he saw that she liked to clean so much, and she said, people don't realize that cleaning is as important as book distribution. I understand that to some degree. but it Prabhupada came in, and Jamuna was describing, and she cleaned so thoroughly, Prabhupada took his stapler, lifted up his stapler, and then this little metal thing where the staples go on, lifted that up and went to the hinge and found some dust, and then told Jamuna, you know, didn't I train you to clean properly? And the details, I went to that function, and it was so classy. It's a fact what Henry said. She was cultured. She appreciated fine things. Even, you know, in kirtan, I love that too. It's very, you know, how she was empowering to people, where everyone would speak, everyone would lead kirtan when she was here in Vrindavan. And wherever she was, everyone was around her chanting and hearing. And she, you know, Vrindavan, she would hold kirtans every night, but she, it wasn't about her leading, although she was such an incredible singer. In fact, after she did the Govindam prayers, Govindam Adi Purusam Tamaham Bhajami, which Prabhupada had played in every temple. After she did those prayers, George Harrison told her, with your voice and your presence, you know, he was willing to make her, you know, he said, you can be one of the top singers. And she wasn't interested. Because that, what her interest was to glorify Krishna. I remember when Akinchana Krishna came to Sharanagati, he sings very good, and she loved his bhajan, she loved his kirtan, he was singing this too. And then, when she came, I brought Akinchana Krishna into the room, and she, when she saw him, she said, you sing very beautiful kirtan, don't become an entertainer. She would just like very melodic and simple things attached. She was very ill. She would just sit, and she couldn't chant also because she'd be in too much ecstasy. She would cry too much. It was hard for any more to speak or cry, speak or sing. I remember that function. I remember a specific thing, too. I mean, the function was so beautiful. I mean, when you love someone, you offer the best. And everything she did was just so fine. And that function was amazing. But, it was centered so much on Krishna. Here's something that people don't know. Do you know how beautiful those deities are, Radha, Shyam, Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Gornitai, and Vrindavan? Daivi Shakti told the story. She went to all the temples in Vrindavan and got a composite picture of what Krishna should look like. And, you know, from the chin to the nose. And she went many, many times to Jayapur to supervise the whole deity worship, they had to supervise how those deities should look. But I remember at that house, you know, at Henry's house, she had a little temple room that was off the living room, and then there's an archway, and she made the altar in the small temple room, beautiful altar in wheels, so that it would wheel around and could be put in the archway facing into the living room so that the living room became a temple room. And for that 20th anniversary, that level of worship. And I remember that function. It was really classy. I don't know what she did. Somehow she sprayed grapes gold and above the archways and the doorways were these golden grapes, and I wish I had saved a little basket of goodies that she gave for each person. She was so fine. It was just so wonderful. And so in the next morning, we had, I remember Henry and Dina Tarni and Jamuna and Joe Cayley was there. Who, you know, actually helped cook and things like that, assisted her. It was very nice. She asked me to give class. So I gave class on the Sad Goswami Astakam. And thinking back now, what was I doing giving class? I should have sat at her feet and listened to her realizations. But what happened is I gave class. And then at the end, I was speaking on different ones of the Sad Goswami Astakams and my realizations, and those are prayers glorifying the six Goswamis. And then she began to tell a story on the last Sadgoswami Astakam. Hey Radhe Brajadevake Chalalite Nandasuno Kuta. Where is Krishna? Oh, you know, the devotees in Vrindavan are running everywhere. You know, hey Radhe Brajadevake Chalalite. Where is Krishna? Where are you, Lalita? Where are you, Radha? The mood of separation. The story she told was she was traveling with Prabhupada as Prabhupada's cook. She went into the best kitchens of India and compiled literally hundreds, maybe even thousands of recipes. She whittled down to her cookbook, which won the Cookbook of the Year award in the most prestigious award ceremony with the most delicious preparations. And so what happened was she was traveling with Prabhupada with Shyamasundar Malati, and Gurudas was her husband at the time. And she told the story how Malati's daughter, Saraswati, who was 3 years old, was absolutely beautiful because Shyamasundar was so handsome and Malati was so beautiful, and their child was like a beautiful... And she would travel with them. And when she would see a life member, she would say to the life member, you know, very distinguished Indian man, do you know who Krishna is? And they would say, no. And she would say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada would use that as an example of how you can share and teach Krishna consciousness according to your realization. Even the girl, young girl, spoke with her conviction. And it was so sweet and appreciated. So one life member gave her this silver Krishna. He was so enamored by this three-year-old girl. So the girl was worshiping it, and then Prabhupada found out, and he advised the parents, Malati and Shyamasundar, that you, and Jamuna is telling me this story, that you can't let a young child travel in India with the silver Krishna. It gets stolen within a week. You know, this is India. That's what a person makes in a lifetime. So they said, well, what'd she do? Because she's so attached to the deity. Well, Prabhupada said, one day, when she's resting, take it out, make a mole, and then go down to the Murtiwala, I guess, wherever they were at the time, and they'll pour one out of brass. So they did that, and then when the young girl came down one day, the brass murti was missed. The deity was in brass. So Saraswati looked at it and he said, "That's not my Krishna." And then she started saying, "I want my Krishna. I want my." She was screaming and screaming and screaming. According to Jamuna, the girl was upset for several days. "I want my Krishna. I want my Krishna. I want my Krishna." And the parents. And the parents were disturbed, and they couldn't do the service, and they were Prabhupada's secretaries. So Prabhupada inquired what the problem was, and they told him. He said, well, you bring the girl in, and I'll try to pacify her. Three-year-old girl came in to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said to the girl, you know, what's the matter? He said, I want my Krishna, I want my Krishna. And Prabhupada said, well, you know, that's actually the way a devotee thinks. And then Prabhupada sang that song, Sadgoswami Astakam, Hey Rajay Vajudeva Kajai, and said, you see, the great devotees, they never say, I have Krishna. But they say, where is Krishna? So Prabhupada preached her like this. And it's so charming, this three-year-old girl, Prabhupada with realization, explaining something so high and making it so relevant to a young girl, pacifying her. And Jamuna told me this. She said they were kind of peeking in the door to see what Prabhupada would do. And when Jamuna said this, she said the hairs on the back of her neck were standing on end. And at that time, I remembered what Tamal Krishnamurti said, because that's actually, obviously, is anastika satsika bhav, could be a symptom of, it's one of the symptoms of bhava bhakti. So at that time I thought, yes, she has bhava. And I don't think it's eulogy. She had so much taste of the holy name. Even at the very beginning, she told Giriraj Swami, she would just go places and just sit up and chant. And she told Giriraj Swami, you know, because he was just new, and he was kind of taking shelter a little bit. And she told him confidentially, when I chant, she said, the mind, the intelligence, the heart become one. Just become the holy name. That's all I hear. She had such incredible spiritual stature. And when she first came, you know, to Prabhupada, she told this story too. And I think Dinabandhu was relating to it. When she first came to see Prabhupada to cook for her sister's wedding. And she didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada met her and said, you know, come back tomorrow at 6 because it's the duty of the bride's family to cook the feast. She says, well, I don't know how to cook. So Prabhupada said, well, I'll help you. And gave her a list of so many things that she should buy for the feast. And at those times, for a girl who's kind of, I guess, in probably pretty much hippie background at that time, Jamuna came in, and she's wearing dungarees and a shirt without a bra and, you know, frizzy, you know, hair hanging down, whatever it was. And when she came, I think Prabhupada said, but before we cook, you should eat something. And Prabhupada had a can of glub jubbins. And a crusty sugar was coming down, and Jamuna was a macrobiotic, which means she only ate brown rice and miso soup or whatever it is. And she remembered that Prabhupada was so insistent that she take this glub jubbin. And to her, it was an offense against everything in her diet that she ever revered. This glub jubbin is so much sugar, so much. And in her mind, she vowed, I will never, ever listen to that man again. And then they came in, and they were getting ready to cook. And then Prabhupada looked at her because she was very tired. She had bags under her eyes. So Prabhupada said, you know, you should take some rest. Just you can lay down in the bed in the next room. And she said her thought at that time was, I mean, I don't know if I can even repeat it, but this is what she said. The Prabhupada said that. She said, if that dirty old man, he lays one hand on me, you know. And then anyway, she went to rest. She came back, of course. And then Prabhupada started to engage her into cooking and just by his association, she understood deeply that he was a person on you know, a high spiritual platform, which you couldn't help, really, in the proper association with Prabhupada, to see that it's an energy. When someone is so fixed on serving God, then everything in their proximity becomes spiritual in the sense that everything in one's proximity is intensely for God. And what is illusion? Illusion means not to see God. And why don't we see God or see things in relationship to God? because we want to enjoy them separately for ourselves. So when you have that mood of service and you start engaging things in God's service, you begin to see them as God. It gives you a spiritual vision. That's what karma yoga is. You may be attached to things and see them in relationship to yourself. But by vowing to give some of the results to Krishna, you begin to see those things as Krishna. So when you come into the association of a very powerful spiritual person, his environment sparkles in a way because the objects are placed there in the mood, intention, and vision of service. So in that kind of association, in someone who had some credible kind of purva samskara, to have that type of devotion and dedication the way she did, somehow she became very attached to Prabhupada. And really just wanted to serve him and gave her whole life. If you're fortunate enough to be around her, you would understand what I'm talking about. Because it was like being with Prabhupada in a sense, in the sense that in her presence, there is only Krishna Katha, there is only Kirtan, intensely. Everything's about Krishna, because that is the person's vision. They're not interested in sense gratification. They're interested in the pleasure of God. And they have an intensity about it. So if you go in, Reverend Jamuna was, then it was the spiritual world, in the sense that everything was for Krishna, and you were for Krishna in her presence. And she used to be very attached to listening to Prabhupada, and she used to always sit in the front. And in the early days in ISKCON, it was very family oriented. One second. Hi, Krishna. Hi, Bo. Who's this? Who is it? Yeah, I'm coming for tomorrow's class. Is that still on? Wait. I'm giving a class online. You have to do this quickly. What's up? Hello? Pick me up. Okay, thank you. Okay. I'm giving class someplace and someone's picking me up. I'm sorry, I had to answer the phone. She used to sit in front. She loved to hear from Prabhupada. And then one day it was at the Kumbh Mela, and I forgot, one sannyasi or someone came to her and said, look, the women, have to sit, and if you look, you see the women are not mixed with the men in the sitting arrangement or something. So she couldn't sit in front anymore. But men and women are separate, but where they are, I don't think the Vedic system is that women are in the back. There's separation, but I don't think it's, the separation is not that women are relegated to the back of the bus or something like that. The most ancient traditional temple in India I saw, where they still live like the Goswamis live, and I sometimes go there. They have, in Vrindavan, about 5 acres, and they have sifted white sand. And if you go to Vrindavan, I'll take you there to Tiastan. It's amazing. And I go to their Artik, and it's like an amazing thing. Their temple room is in a courtyard with white sand and trees. And the local women come. They stay in front of the altar, and all these old sadhus stay back. But anyway, whatever the thing is, she wasn't sitting in front that day. And, you know, then Prabhupada saw her, you know, and he loved her so much as his daughter. And he said, "Oh, Jamuna, you don't like to hear from me anymore?" And then she kind of told what happened. And, you know, Prabhupada just listened. I don't think he said much, you know. But then she understood that she couldn't always have Prabhupada's personal association. But one day he would leave. And that she had to seek his association. She had to seek his association in Vani, in instructions, and she did that. She did that. I mean, I'm reflecting back on her, and I had a nice relationship. She really, really encouraged me. She loved my books, Greetings from Vrindavan, especially also the Japa Meditation book. So I kind of felt you know, happy about that. I was just always pleasant. I felt so much respect and love for her, and she was so respectful. I was going to take her the last time she came to Ter Kadamba, but she was sick, but I took her group to Ter Kadamba, and it was on the day of Bhakti Siddhanta's disappearance day, which is the which is also the appearance day of her deities. And her deities, Prabhupada named Banbihari. There's it right here in the Prakrama. The oldest ashram is named Banbihar. And the story of her deities is that when she arranged the carving of the deities and did everything to establish all over India the deity worship of she is so sincere. In the Bombay Pandal, when they were installing Radharasa Bihari, she was given the Department of Deity Worship, but there was no money, you know, and she was just depressed and crying. And then someone came along and gave it. But she secretly made an extra set of those deities that are the Utsava deities, the small deities of the Krishna Bala, of the Radha Shyam Sundar. And then later, you know, when Prabhupada found out, he just named the deities and asked her to worship them. Extraordinary, extraordinary Vaishnavi, who I feel whose instructions are, I mean, I'm just, it's affected me a lot, I have to say that personally. I do my deity worship with such attention now. Just hearing her love for the deities and how she, I'll just tell you what kind of her vision was very unique. One time she was dressing the deities, and the flute has one hole, I think it's a bumsi, one hole on one side, and then the holes where you put your fingers. Well, she had the holes where you put the fingers at the mouth, and the other hole on the other side. So, I don't know, some sannyasi, we played always the evil role in the beginning, my ashram. We were all pure until we got a taste for power. You know, said, "Jamuna, this is not right. You know, you have the hand, you know, the part where Krishna's supposed to blow at the end, and by his mouth you have the other part where he's supposed to put his hand." And she just looked at him and said, "Angani yasya sakalendriya vittimanti," which is a verse that Krishna can do anything with any part of his body because he's absolute. So this sannyasi became really upset and went to tell Prabhupada, and then tell Prabhupada what she did, and Prabhupada thought for a minute and said, "Angani yasya sakalendriya vittimanti." So anyway, we had some nice remembrances, and as Jamuna trained Henry to access the mercy of the great Vaishnavas, by Prabhupada's grace, he's produced some pure devotees, and we should remember them. Okay, are there any comments or questions, or anybody like to say anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Hi, Gail.
It was very nice to hear about Mother Yamuna. I'm not sure why you don't like to call it eulogy, but it was nice to hear about her.
Because eulogy sometimes has a connotation, and Prabhupada used it in this way too, or I got it from some commentary of you say words, but you don't mean it, you have to. The words don't correspond with the actual fact of it. So in that sense, it's not eulogy in the sense that it's not just a formal thing, which may or may not be true,
mm-hmm.
but it's real praise, not exaggerated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you just, there's two things. One, can you repeat your definition of self-effulgent? And also, where is Sharanagati?
Sharanagati is 5 hours east of Vancouver, which is out in the middle of the wilderness. But it's a 2,500-acre farm, you know? It's a 25-acre farm, and the way it was run to maintain it is they made 50-acre plots. Of 55-acre plots where people could buy 5 acres. And in that way they paid for the whole farm or something like that. But it's off the grid, but it's... When Jamuna was there, it was just quite a spiritual place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever met her? No.
No, no.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Gail?
Yeah, can you just repeat how you defined self-effulgent?
Self-effulgent, I defined it as everyone independently sees that this person is something special, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I Jayananda, I met him, and someone else met him, and if someone else met him, and this person met him, and that person met him, and this person met him, you know, and they were all just impressed with the simplicity and purity of their devotion. The same thing I was saying about Vibhu Chaitanya. Everyone just was impressed. And the same thing with Jamuna. Everyone saw that this lady had bhakti. Okay.
Maharaj?
Yes? Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, this is Bhakti and Stella. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, before you ask anything, can I just ask you about what time... when do you come in? On the 29th? What time?
We come in the late evening. And so
yeah.
We should be ready first thing in the morning.
What's the early?
Maybe like after like after a morning program.
Okay, so not before 9 o'clock.
I think that's a good time.
Okay. I just wanted to know because of logistics of, I may be in Govan on the night before. Okay, great. Stella, you had a question?
I wanted to share a memory of Mother Imuna.
I would love that.
I met her for the first time in 2000 in Mayapur when we were there. And she was self-effulgent. As soon as you came into her presence, you knew this was a special person. And she was so kind, and she sat with us in the temple room. And, our children who were small at that time sat around her, and she gathered them in her arms, like on both sides of her. And she, she said she told them she loved them and how much she loved Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. And with tears in her eyes, and it was just this wonderful moment of we really felt like family. And and then she invited me for my own personal memory. She invited me to come to a kirtan that she had arranged in her rooms with her god sisters. And I was very excited, and when I got there, I realized that I was the only person who was not a Prabhupada disciple. And I was very kind of, nervous and intimidated. And I think she saw that. She was so welcoming. And again, she would, draw someone in. And so she invited me. She could see I was nervous, so she invited me to sit right next to her on the bed there. I mean, we were very, very close, with our bodies touching, and I held the songbook for her while she sang. And I just felt so accepted and grateful to her for that. And it was one of the highlights of my life, actually, that kirtan was, shines in my memory like a jewel. And it was due to her mercy. And she said that, it's not, and she invited me to sing at that. Everybody had to sing. And she always said that it's not how well you sing, but it's,
she wrote in her last email to us, she says, kirtan is not about what you sound like to others. It's about calling out to the Lord.
Giri Swami read that, actually.
I'd love to also reiterate what Henry said about how, really she was the most empowering person I ever met. And by Henry's grace, I was able to go up to Sharanagati with him a couple of times. And whenever you were with her, when you left, she made you a better person.
Yes.
I mean, you left a better person than you came.
Yes.
And she made you feel like you were a better person. She would bring out whatever in Krishna consciousness might be your insecurity or uncertainty. And she, by glorifying the person, she would actually, make you feel good about who you were in Krishna conscious and what you had to offer. And it was just such a powerful, powerful gift and preaching tool.
Totally.
So thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you for this class. It's so great to be thinking of her.
And Merry Christmas.
It is.
On the Thursday of Lord And that's, I realized too, when we were saying on the appearance day of Great Vaishnavas, and it's the appearance day of Lord Jesus today. It was very special.
Glory to Lord Jesus.
Hare Krishna.
Wonderful. I'm just meditating on that and seeing how I can become more like that. But, that nature of, you know, it's not just a technique, a book technique about how to, win friends and influence people, or how to empower people, but it's based on some kind of deep Krishna conscious vision. It's based on how someone sees reality and how someone sees themselves, and that reflects on how they deal with others. So when I hear about that, someone, in an ear can say, well, okay, there are many people. No, it's not. It's a vision of putting Krishna in the center and seeing everybody in relationship to Krishna that creates that mood of equality and empowerment. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. And
You also spoke about her cooking and cleaning. And when also by Henry's grace, I was in Charanagati, and she gave a full day seminar on cooking with Prabhupada. And one of my strongest memories of what she said was about cleaning the pots, and how cleaning a pot did not just mean for Srila Prabhupada, and then her standard forevermore, did not just mean cleaning the inside of the pot, but cleaning every speck of black on the bottom of every pot, so that every pot is shining inside and out, not a speck of dust of black anywhere. And that's a pretty high standard, anyone who knows cleaning pots.
Yeah. There was something extraordinary. I'm just feeling better trying to be a little more clean after hearing from her. But, I think, I know Giriraj Swami wasn't there in the morning, was there in the afternoon, and he wanted to, you can get those talks in the morning. A lot of nice people spoke, And it's a very beautiful thing. I mean, it really was. Okay, anybody else like to say hello or say something? Okay, I'm going to end now and let everybody go on to their Christmas functions. Vanchakalpa Trubhyas Chakra Pasindu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Buddhaya.